Wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get them dollar signs. Get up and go do overtime. Get up and put that overdrive.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's a great morning. It's a great morning. It's a great morning. Listen, I thank all of y'all, all of my listeners, all of you who have been committed to this journey with me. I heard a statistic today that most people that began podcasters, they usually stop after the first season and definitely after the second season. And here we are right now, you know, in the second season, coming toward a close of the second season, and y'all have to be my encouragement to keep doing this thing. If it's been good to you, if it's been great, if it's been something inspirational, encouraging, informative, I need you to make sure you give us a review, 5-star review, and leave a comment in the review. I need y'all to do that for me. But then I'm a personal guy, so I need y'all to let me know personally. So you can hit me up on IG, J_EARL_CRAY. That's J_EARL_CRAY. Send me a DM and let me know, like, hey, dude, I promise you, man, one of those episodes just blessed my entire life. Do that for me. But if you can't reach me on IG, Facebook, all of you got Facebook. Our grandmamas have Facebook. Some of your great grandparents have Facebook. So you should definitely have a Facebook account. If not, you can download Messenger. You don't even need a Facebook account for Messenger. And send me a message on Messenger and say, hey, listen, Craig, man, I'm telling you, your podcast, man, has been dope. It's been good. It's been great. If you just want to give me a one-liner, say, hey, Craig, I appreciate the podcast, period. And that would be so great to me. And if neither one of those handles work for your platforms, you can always go to Twitter. You know, Twitter is like the redhead stepchild of social media because they're steadily trying to keep up. They got the little fleets now that kind of mimic the whole IG story and mimic the Facebook story. And they got, you know, they got so many features that are, they're just chasing down Facebook and IG. But nevertheless, I still love that redhead stepchild because we are supposed to spread love to everybody. That's the Jesus way. And Biggie said it's the Brooklyn way. So nevertheless, if you don't have Facebook Messenger or you don't have IG, send me a DM on Twitter. I answer those too. Somehow, some way, I just want you to let me know what this podcast has meant to you, if it's meant anything. That would be big for me, along with your review. So I know y'all like, why is he doing all these set up messages? It sounds like I'm a promotion on a radio station, right? Maybe I'll get there one day. Anyway, we're going to talk today. It's me by myself, just to let y'all know. Some of you have told me many times that you really appreciate the episodes that I do alone by myself. But a lot of you also appreciate the guests because we've had some phenomenal guests this season. And we'll have a couple more before we shut down the season. But I just wanted to come back and talk to you about a very important session or idea. Not even session or idea. Both of those are the wrong terms. What would be the right term? Just something that's just dear to my heart that really just has been on me for the last week. And I want to discuss that today. And I just want to talk to y'all about relationships with our youth, relationships with the youth. And if we have to title it or term it or define it, it's really going to be what I talked about in our Monday morning devotional this yesterday morning, actually. I talked about it takes a village to raise children. So let's talk about relationships with our youth. I want y'all to make sure you give me feedback because this conversation can be so much broader than just right here in these next 15 to 20 minutes, all right? So I'm going to start off just like this, the same way I kind of did with our devotional yesterday on Monday morning. I talked about one of my mentees who's absolutely dear to my heart. Young lady, she's now a ninth grader, which blows my mind. She's actually at the end of ninth grade. This is their last week of school, so she's pretty much a 10th grader now. And since she was 8 years old, and I'll give y'all kind of the backdrop and I'll build my way up to what I want to talk about. So when she was about 8 years old, I was still living in Metro Atlanta area, and I would drive down every summer to do a community event that I did for my community through a nonprofit organization, Great Generation Reaching, Educating, and Teaching. And we called it All-Star Weekend. It was centered around basketball, but we did a lot of things for the youth. We had a youth day in which we gave out school supplies, book bags, paper, pencils, rulers, highlighters, markers, whatever you can think of for school, we handed it out. Glue, sanitizer, even back then. We would have like a carnival day for our young people. Where it's amazing to me that young people don't know the game Jump the Creek. And some of y'all might not even remember the game Jump the Creek. But when I was in like elementary school, they had this game where you take two ropes and you put them side by side and you start off with the creek small, you jump over the creek. Then as everybody jump over, you back it up. If you ever step in the middle, it's like stepping in the creek. I remember us doing Jump the Creek. I thought these kids were going to lose their minds. They were so excited because kids nowadays don't like to go outside. So anyway, that was one of the youth events that we did. And then we always closed off that weekend with a Sunday service in which at the most exhausted time of my life, I would step up on Sunday morning and preach. And I preached, this was maybe 2012, 13, somewhere in there. But either way, I preached that Sunday. I preached the sermon, I'm So Hood. And I talked about the neighborhood. And she came up to the altar with her grandmother, her mom, and her auntie. And I looked at her. I told her mom, I said, we are going to make sure that she goes to Spelman College. Most of you that are listening, you already know Spelman College is one of the most prestigious HBCUs in America. And I believe personally it's one of the most prestigious universities, institutions in this whole world. I love the idea of Spelman for young women. And I told her mom, I said, at 8 years old, we're going to make sure that she goes to Spelman. So every time I would come home, I would speak that over her life. So then when I came back to Hazelhurst, started Impact Church of Hazelhurst, her mom joined our church. She was there. And I just saw the intellect. You know, I experienced her intellect, saw her intellect. I saw the growth. And I was intentional. Bought a Spelman shirt, bought a flag from Spelman. We're working on now, as soon as pandemic is completely over, or as soon as they open back up the doors, we'll be able to take her. But anyway, I'm getting out of hand. I just want to give you this story real quick so I can get to the point, right? So we have been ingraining and instilling in her mind Spelman College ever since she was 8 years old. I was so moved last year when she was in eighth grade on the homecoming court, and I heard them read off her future plans, and she said her future plan is to go to Spelman College. So we've been instilling that in her mind. Well, we gave her an assignment, and we pay her for this assignment at the church. We have her. She does all of our media stuff. As a ninth grader, 14, she's responsible for all the media stuff, the streaming, the setting up of the projectors, all this stuff. But the last couple months since I left in November, I've been getting a couple phone calls that she's been a little bit lazy. So she hasn't been paying attention to detail the way that she was before when I was there. She hasn't been coming in and handling responsibilities. And Sunday, she fell asleep on the front row in church while the live stream was going on. And when they told me that, man, I was so disappointed. I was hurt. I was almost heartbroken because I've been seeing the journey of her getting more lax. And this is about the time, parents that are listening, mentors that are listening, teachers that are listening, 9th, 10th, and 11th grade are the times that you start seeing the kids trend toward laziness. If you just recognize it, their senior year, you're too late. Their senior year is just the climax of it. They have started trending that way in 9th, 10th, 11th grade. And I was so disappointed and so nervous and so concerned. But this is what came to mind. There's a scripture in our Bibles that says to us, Paul says this. He says, I planted the seed in your heart. He's talking to the Corinthians. He says, Apollos watered the seed, and God gives the increase. And family, I want to talk from three areas tonight. I want to talk from the area of the planter, the waterer, and the increaser. The planter, the waterer, and the increaser. And here's how it goes, right? The planter. Many of you, like myself, serve in two capacities, because some of us are planters and some of us at the same time in different scenarios are also waterers, right? But I want to speak primarily to the planters first. Some of us are the ones that God has orchestrated for us to be in certain people's lives to plant a seed in their lives. Parents, listen to me if you're listening. Mentors that have mentees that are in grade level education right now, that's in elementary school, middle school, some in high school. You are, whether you may be a waterer, we'll talk about that in a second. But if you are a parent, if you are a mentor, you are a planter. Someone needs you to plant in their life. What are you talking about, Cray? Here it is. Planters, you instill and ingrain in the mind of children the direction they should go. Now, what I've struggled with in this whole thought is like, okay, Cray, you let a child still be independent in themselves and get to know themselves and, you know, come into their own. If you're telling people, and including yourself in this, that you are a planter and that you're responsible for planting the seed in their heart, how is that? How can you have both of those? I think I discovered an answer for it. Planters, just because you're planting the seed does not mean you're robbing them of their identity. The seed does not mean that you're robbing them of who they are. Planting the seed is just that, because here's the reality. You can plant a seed that never brings forth a harvest. You can plant a seed that never cracks the ground. So it's not that you're stealing or robbing them of their identity, but here is what I believe. This goes back to the spiritual side. Y'all know I'm a preacher. All of y'all already know that already. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. So it's going to come out of me at some point. Here's what we have to do, parents, mentors, educators, planters. We have to trust God that the seed we're planting in their heart is in alignment with the will that God has on their life. This is your responsibility. We talk about this whole African proverb that it takes a village to raise a child. Here's where our responsibility kick in, planters. We have to be willing to plant the seed, Paul said, in their heart. That's why at 8 years old, I told my mentee, you're going to Spelman. Now my daughter, who's 10, she's 10 years old. I've been telling her the last couple of weeks, Howard University. This is why. Because she displayed to me what she wanted to do. I was hoping a little bit that my daughter was going to be an athlete. You know, I was hoping, man, I'm telling y'all. I didn't want to press it on her. You know, I've always told people, like, I'm not going to be that parent. I'm not going to be the parent. My mom didn't press athletics on me. My dad didn't press athletics on me. I just played. I was gifted. I loved it. And I was like, man, I promise y'all, I'm not going to be that parent. I even told her mom. I said, listen, I'm not going to be that dad. Because her mom asked me, you wanted to play basketball, volleyball? You know, we had that conversation. I was like, listen, all right, if she don't come talk to me about playing sports, I'm cool. I was really not being 100% truthful with myself, right? Because deep down inside, I really wanted her to play basketball and run track. Like, she's built like a track runner. She's got long legs. She's muscular. But this joker is trash. She cannot play basketball. I think she can do track, but she's lazy. She's not going to go outside and run. So y'all pray for me that as soon as I get married, I have a son right away that loves sports as much as his daddy. And then I have another daughter who also loves sports. If not, I'm just going to have to adopt a bunch of y'all's children and go to all the sporting events, right? But here's the point. Now she's came into this idea of wanting to be an actress. So what I've been convicted of is like, okay, answer for so many mentees and so many spiritual sons and daughters. Now, Cray, as a parent, you got to plant in your daughter before it gets too late. So I had her this week. I had her look up Howard University. She had to tell me when it was founded, where it's located, and she had to tell me two male actors and two female actresses that graduated from Howard. And what blessed me, I gave her the entire week. She called me the next day with the information. I was like, okay, here it is. I've planted the seed. Because planners, that's what we do. We basically, what planning is you exposing them to something. And you got to be in a place with God and in a place of trusting God that what you're exposing them to is in alignment again with the will that God has on their life. So planters, you can't walk in fear. You can't walk on eggshells. You got to walk in confidence knowing that God, what you placed in my heart to plant in my child, to plant in my mentee, to plant in this student that I see potential in, I have to trust that it's in alignment with the will of God for their life. Those are the planters. We do what Paul did. Paul said, I planted the seed in your heart. So planners, confident. You got to be charismatic, creative. That's the three C's for the planter. You got to be confident, charismatic, and creative. I just mentioned to you about the confident piece. The confidence comes from you trusting God that what God lays in your heart, a place in your heart to give them or to plant in them is in alignment with the will that God has in their life. Charisma is what I did for my daughter. I let her feel as if she was doing the work, but really I was planting the seed. She was ecstatic about it. Like, I'm telling y'all, my daughter is lazy. I don't know where she gets that from. She didn't get that from her daddy. I ain't saying it's her mom. So don't y'all go trying to reach her mom and tell her that. It may be some other person in the family, right? It may come from, you know, I don't know, one of my uncles or something. I don't know. But I ain't lazy like that. So my daughter don't, she would have took 2 weeks to get me this information back. But she hit me the next day, ready, in a notebook, answer. Where it was located, she gave me where, when it was founded, she gave me the actors and the actresses, and she was able to enunciate every name properly. So that means she had went over it with her mom. She must have talked to either, you know, her mom or her mom's husband, but she was ecstatic about it. That was charismatic. I did it in a very charismatic way. I knew that if I place it on her to do the work, and I tagged in at what she likes to do, I had to make sure. Now, I couldn't just tell her, go look up Howard University, tell me when it was founded and where it's at. I had to also add what she is excited about. So I told her, look up two actors and two actresses. That was charismatic. That's what you got to, use your charisma. What God has given you, you got to use that charisma. And then you got to be creative. So I'm still working on this creative piece, right? I don't know what the creativity looks like. And the creativity may be me. I was thinking about this. Like, maybe I need to get a Howard University t-shirt, what I've done for some of my other mentees. That may be the creative part. The creative part may be next summer for her 12th birthday, fly her to DC and take her to Howard. Or maybe as a Christmas gift, or maybe as a gift for her doing well in school, her first semester after the pandemic, I say, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to fly her to DC and we're going to go and be on campus at Howard. I don't know what the creative part looks like for her right now, but what I'm telling some of y'all is creativity may be what we're planning to do with my mentee that I was just mentioning to y'all. We're going to take her to Spelman College as soon as the pandemic is over. That's a form of creativity. We're going to not just take her, but my goal is, and what I'm working on with one of my friends, what I call her my friend, we're connected. We serve the House of Hope Atlanta together. She works in administration at Spelman. So I'm trying to see if we can get my mentee in the classroom for actual class. Creativity. That's going to let you know if they really want to be there or not be there. But here's the point, family. The first thing is parent, mentors, you are the planter. Three C's for the planter. Confident, charisma, and creativity. And let me add a fourth one real quick while I'm thinking about this. Consistency. Planters have to be consistent. Listen, this is not like gardening is the idea that we're using, but it's not really like gardening. Because when you're gardening or you're farming, you put the seed in the ground one time and then you come water and you wait for it. But when it comes to this type of planting, you got to keep planting it. You got to keep mentioning it. Keep talking to them about it. You got to keep Spelman before their face. You got to keep Howard in front of them. And now, I didn't mention this part, but my nephew, my goal is to plant in him Morehouse College. I want him to go to Morehouse. So I'm going to plant that in him. I'm going to keep instilling that in him. I'm going to start talking to him about it more. And I'm going to do these seeds, these four seeds now. I'm going to do the same thing as I plant for him. So the first thing are planters. First people are planters. The second ones are Apollos. Apollos was the waterer, right? So I know this gets interesting because as I mentioned to y'all, some of us are planters and waterers, right? But this is what got me. So one of the administrative leaders, executive leaders at our church, super, super close to me, absolutely incredible sister, Brandy Anthony, she serves as our administrative, really ain't no title. They just all on the executive leadership team, right? So I was talking to Brandy, I talked to her, I talked to Millie Alls, I talked to Minister Joyce Beal, I talked to Justin Phillips, and I talked to Pastor Michael Jordan, although all five of them now are leaders at Impact Church of Hazelhurst. So every Sunday now, well, the last couple of Sundays, Pastor Michael Jordan just came on board. I called them on Sunday, and I talked to them about the service, or on Monday. So as I was talking to them all, trying to get some feedback on Sunday, I talked to Brandy because I had seen the pros and cons list already, so I called her. After I talked to Millie and after I reached out to Jip and I talked to Pastor Jordan on Monday, right? But anyway, I was talking to her and she kind of informed me that she was talking, like, you know what? She's the waterer for this particular mentee. She graduated from Georgia Southern University. She's an educator. She's a leader in education. I said, you know what? She's the waterer. That blew my mind. And 100 with y'all, since y'all can't see me and y'all can't see my face, right? It bothered me a little bit. Let me tell y'all why. Because I'm so used to being the planter and the waterer for everybody that comes in contact with me. It bothered me a little bit because my mentee, she didn't start falling off until I left. And I was there, I was planting, 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 planting. And when I left, we didn't leave a waterer. And because nobody, watch this now, because nobody was assigned to water her, falling back. So the first thing about waterers are assigned. Apollos was assigned by Paul to come along Paul's journey. He was assigned to be the waterer. And planters, watch this. You have a double job, or you have a double responsibility. You plant that person and you assign the waterer. That may not be good for y'all, but that is so good for me. You assign the waterer. So you always have, the planters always have to be on the look for other leaders. So it was like clear as night and day. As she was talking and she was just going, we go over the pros and cons and she's going over the pros and cons. I'm like, oh my God. When she hears this if she listens, this will be the first time that she heard it. I need to go ahead and make the assignment, right? But it just blew my mind. Like, as she was talking, I was like, she is the waterer. Wow. So now it's my responsibility to say, hey, water this seed that we planted in this mentee. Take it a step farther with my own daughter. I got to build up the courage to have a conversation with her mother and say, listen, I'm planting the seed, Mom. Now you have to water the seed. Same thing with my nephew. I got to sit down and talk to my sister. I'm planting the seed. Now you are assigned to water the seed. Well, some of you are probably saying, well, what if somebody assigned me to water the seed? What does that even look like? I'm glad that y'all asked, because here's what it looks like. Watering the seed is not as difficult as planting the seed. Planting the seed is literally you coming, you feeling God and trusting God in your heart. Watering is just fertilizing, in a sense, what's already there. So all you're doing now, the waterer, is you're carrying out the vision that's been planted by the planter. So you're just, you're continuing it. So where I'm being creative and say, okay, the planter's creative and charismatic and being consistent and being confident and saying, okay, we're going to plant the seed. We're going to carry you to Spelman, to Howard. Now, as the waterer, you have a responsibility to keep consistently doing what you saw the planter do. So now you got to keep encouraging them about Spelman, about Morehouse, about Howard. And trust me, family, I know there's a ton of other colleges out there. Shoot, I went to a historically black college or university for one semester to play football, but I still love Alabama State. I'm a Troy graduate two times. I graduated from predominantly black seminary, ITC. So I'm not knocking any other university. These are just direct situations that are connected to me and connected to where I am. So that's why I keep mentioning. I just want to give that disclaimer before anybody start repping your college and start shouting, sending me messages instead of telling me how good the podcast was. You want to tell me how good your little school is. No, we ain't repping your school right now. You know, we're talking about schools that are connected to the people that are close to me and dealing with this particular topic today, right? So what I'm saying is you got to make sure, waterer, that you continue the process of the planting. That's the only assignment that you got, is that you continue the process. Here's what happens a lot of times with waterers. Waterers get the misconception that they are the increaser. Waterer, planter, you're not the increaser. And if you ever get out of alignment with your role, you can mess up the heart of the one you planted the seed. Did y'all just hear what I said? If you ever get out of alignment with your role, you can mess up the heart of the one that was supposed to have a seed planted there. You're not the increase of waterer. You are just that. You are the continuation of what's been planted. And this should never be a competition anyway. I'm the only one that competes in my own head against James Earl Cray, the planter, and against James Earl Cray, the waterer. Y'all don't do that. Anyone that competes against himself, for whatever reasoning I have, I don't even have a rationale for it. But y'all shouldn't be that way. It's not competitive. Our goal is the same goal. The one that the heart is the goal, right? So the planter, the waterer, we got the same goal. We want to see the one that we planted in and the one that we're watering the seed in. We want to see them, here it is, we want to see them successful. So the village should never be in competition with each other. Never compete with each other. The waterers, all you have to do, your assignment, you carry out, you continue what's already been planted. And then here's the final thing, the increaser. That's God, family. That's why we can't get out of whack and out of alignment, because here it is. If you ever try to replace God, you will mess everything up. Let me give you an example. Satan, the Beelzebub, the devil. This was Satan's dilemma, right? According to research, I don't know how they get this research. It ain't in the Bible. I don't know who talked to Satan, who talked to God, right? But somehow this is how they got this research. This is what we believe by faith. We believe that Satan got kicked out of heaven. And we believe that Satan got kicked out of heaven because we believe that Satan wanted the angels to worship him. It's believed that Satan wanted to be God. And because he wanted to be God, he got kicked out of heaven with no chance of redemption. Now listen to this and let me make it make sense for what I'm talking about. We live in this human body. And this is one reason the old preacher used to say, this is why the devil hates you. Because you can curse and you can lie and you can cheat and you can fornicate and you can do this and you can do that. You can live in sin, but Jesus will redeem you. You've been redeemed by the blood on the cross. That's what the old preachers say. They say a little bit different, heavier voice. With one of those, I can't do all that, right? So we have chance at redemption with all the chaos and Hades that takes place in our lives. Some of us have lied, have cheated, have fornicated, have manipulated, have deceived. But because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, we have a chance at redemption. This is why the old preacher used to say the devil don't like you. Because we can cause all chaos and Hades and earth and still get redeemed by confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart. But the devil made one mistake and can never be redeemed. Which says to us that whatever the devil did, God want to do that. What does that got to do with what you're talking about, Craig? Planters, waterers, if you ever try to become the increaser, operating same spirit Satan was, wanting to replace God, who is the increaser. And the attempt, listen to me, I'm preaching now. And the attempt to replace God will get you eternal damnation. Let me run it back. Not the act of replacing God, just the attempt to replace God to eternal damnation with no chance of parole. So as a planter, you have a responsibility for seed, charisma, creativity, consistency. As a waterer, you are assigned by the planter with one responsibility, the fifth seed, continuation. And we both, waterers and planters, have to be in alignment with the role that we have, that we do not tempt the increaser. Because if we do, it places us under the same spirit as Satan when he was dismissed from heaven for an eternity. So tonight, or today, this morning, whatever time of day it is, here's what I'm telling all of us, parents, mentors, educators, community leaders, investors, whomever you are, I'm telling you tonight, you got today, this morning, whatever, you got one or two roles to play, or both. You're waterer or planter, saying them backwards, planter or waterer, or you're both. But let me say this real quick. This is what I believe. Now, this ain't written in nobody's book. These are Crayism, right? The Crayism is that I don't believe you can be the planter and the waterer for the same person. Wow. I'm living the experience right now in my life, right? I just mentioned to y'all my one mentee that's a young lady, or one of my mentees that's a young lady, that I'm just now learning that I planted and now someone else is about to do the watering. But I also got four young men that are absolutely dear to my heart. Love them like they're my own son. And when they were in eighth grade, planting in them hard work, discipline, dedication, started planting it in them every day, 4 o'clock, as soon as they get out of school in eighth grade, we go into the field to do high level collegiate workout, some professional workouts we were doing. I was planting in them these things. And now all them jokers are about to be seniors, all four of them. And I can barely get them on the phone half the time. Because what's going to have to happen now is somebody's going to have to come along and water those things that I planted in them. You can see it on them. They're the most impressive four guys in high school football right now in the whole country. I'll argue that to anybody. I don't care what nobody says. Four most impressive guys right now. And you will see that they're impressive because they're disciplined, they're dedicated. Those were things God allowed me to plant in them. And now I got to trust that somebody's going to come along and water that. So that's why I try to be so intentional in their collegiate process, because I want to assign whichever school they go to. I'm talking to the coach and say, listen, these are the things I instilled in these guys. Expecting you to water. And that's what I'm saying to all of us tonight. The village. How we can ensure that our children be successful is that we got to know our role as planter, as waterer, and we got to trust the increaser. Listen, family, that's all I got for you. I hope that this helped y'all this morning. I just don't know. Y'all got to let me know about this one. It was really heavy on my heart. I did this note free, straight from my heart, because I didn't want to structure out something too much. I wanted to just really speak this podcast from my heart. Because like I said, I was very disappointed and nervous about my mentee, man. She's so incredible. She's so dope. She's so amazing. And she has so much great potential to open up doors and opportunities for so many other young women in our community. And I just wanted to speak my heart, and my boys just wanted to speak my heart about all of those things. But I believe that I'm even learning now, as I mentioned to y'all, you can't be planter and waterer for everybody. You gotta choose the role that God allows you and go with it. So listen, as I told y'all, please go to those social media handles that I mentioned to you at the very beginning. Rewind this and listen to it again. No, don't rewind it. Stop it. Go out of it. Come back in it. So we can get a second count from you listening. Tell somebody about it. If anything stood out to you, tell somebody. Share it with somebody. Every one of the podcast platforms. My boy. I say my boy, is it Molly Music or Lecrae? One of them sings a song that says, tell the world about it. Tell the world about it. Go tell the world about it, family. Do that for us. Remember, no matter what obstacles come our way, no matter how tough things might be, always remember, great day to be great. I love y'all so much, but God loves you so much more. Thank y'all again for tuning in to another episode of Great Mornings Podcast. Have an incredible rest of your week. And I'm out. Peace.